What a time we live in Earth's history. You know, I'm excited to be here at this time. I believe the work is fast closing up. I know that Jesus is soon to come. Signs all around. We've heard that over and over, but you know, keep it foremost in your heart and in your mind. There's no doubt that Jesus is coming. There's no doubt that it's just very, very close. But the door of probation is still open. And there's time for those who have not come in. But they need to make decisions. We need to make them quick. You see our subject for tonight. You know, I really believe it's a subject that we need. It might be old news for some of you. It might be. Jesus, the way out. But you know, anytime you talk about Jesus, it's good news, is it not? You can say Jesus, you know, over and over and over. Every time I say Jesus, there's something special about that name. There's something that goes through my system when I hear the name of Jesus. There's comfort, there's joy, there's hope, there's encouragement, there's strength. But just the mention of His name. Jesus is the way out. And tonight we're going to prove that from Scripture. We're glad that you're here. And how wonderful. There couldn't be any meetings if you weren't here. Praise God. And so we want you to still make those phone calls, and we still want you to invite your friends and your neighbors, and I know you don't have any enemies, but invite them too. That's what the Bible said. And just love them to death, right? Bring them on in before it's too late. This is what it's all about. If we believe the door of probation is closing, we believe that Jesus is soon to come, we're going to be challenging some of the issues of the day. We're going to be challenging, as it were, challenging work there is to do, to go to our neighbors and our friends and those whom we work with and those who we see at the Walmart or wherever it might be. Somehow they may see Jesus in you. There may be something. There's a need. We found that in our lives, that wherever we go, there's needs. There's need. There are people who are needy of the Spirit, and they want a word in due season. And we can find that word certainly here in the Word of God. So I'm glad that you have your little handouts, because we'll use passages of Scripture that are not here for sure. But there's a lot that's here. Makes a good Bible study for you to go and maybe to give it to your neighbors and to your friends. Jesus, the way out. Dealing with certainly the sin issue. May I just do kind of a short synopsis of the message tonight first. Just a few thoughts. And then we need to get in, because there, we know dealing with the sin issue is very, very important. Sin is going to keep us out of heaven. We know that. We have to separate by the grace of God, gain the victorious life through Him. But you know, as we look at this, it's so important in this study to realize who Jesus really is. Is it important to know that He is the Messiah? Is it important to know that He can forgive sin? We're going to look quickly at just a certain, just maybe 4 points here of the birth of sin. You'll see that here in your note, the page that you have. You're going to see about the fall and then the results of, and then the rescue from sin. I always like that last one. It's the what? The rescue from sin. Praise God for that. So let's go over elementary, if we might, because what we have to realize, remember, we are here for others, not only for ourselves. We realize we all need to come and study. Isn't that right? We know that. And you have made that choice tonight. You've made a good choice. God's going to bless you for it. You're not going to get behind on anything, because God's going to put you forward, right? You're not going to get behind and say, well, I took time to go to a meeting. Now I have to. God's going to take care of that. I know when God, Lord, called me into the ministry, I was in construction. Spent 18 full years in construction, so I know what it's all about. As the Lord was calling into the ministry, I spent more time, right, planting the seeds and giving Bible studies than I did driving nails for the day. Are you still with me, church? Because God was bringing people, because He knew the heart. Think about that. He makes up that time for us. So simply we go back and we look at, because there are people who will hear this message for the very first time, because of 3ABN and what they're doing and where they will be putting these studies and so on and so forth. Remember, there are those who have never heard it, and so they're going to hear it for the first time. So we need to maybe go in a little detail and maybe little things that are simple to you, but it's not simple to them. It's something they need, that they're reaching out for, because nothing is by accident, is it? Nothing. Lucifer's aim, remember, in the beginning was what? To replace God, wasn't it? He's going to replace God. This was his plan. This is what he was going to do, but it led to his fall. Sometimes we have a plan, and it's going to lead to our fall if we're not careful, right? We need to have God's plan, not our own plan. And, of course, right after that, we're looking down A, B, C, D, right on down. After that, Lucifer and, right, the angels, or Satan and the angels, were cast out of where? Cast out of heaven, absolutely. Then Satan came down here, and he did what? He lied to our first parents. And our first parents evidently liked the lie, and they accepted that lie. And you know what happened then, right? They received the results of sin. It's been talked about tonight and today, so about the result. There's results, right? There's things that will happen when we make a choice. Because of Adam and Eve, the door was open to sin and death. Remember, when a door is open, usually it lures people to go through that door. When the door is closed, you may not even try to go through it. But all of a sudden, the hinges and the door swung wide open, and all of a sudden, we're finding death, and we're finding the wages of sin. Sin separates us from, and it separates us from each other, doesn't it? I mean, you know when you're doing something willfully wrong and you're in sin, you know it. You even stay away from mama and daddy. You still with me, church? You know, mama, you're right, husband and wife may be doing something they shouldn't be doing. All of a sudden, there's a separation and there's a division there. We think if we stay away, no one will find us out. But really, sin separates us from God and separates us from one another. Sin made man's heart deceitful, notice that, and wicked. But good news, don't you like good news? Yes. This is the time of good news because I need some because it's the world that we live in today and what's taking place. Jesus came, right? He paid the penalty for my sins and for your sins. Praise God for that. He paid the penalty so that we might be righteous through him. That righteousness of Jesus Christ, that robe of righteousness that we so desperately need for each other. Thank God for that robe. Now notice, we are saved by grace through what? Through faith. Again, the simplicity of the gospel, but I'm telling you, that's heavy duty. Jesus loves us in spite of the things that we do. He still loves us and still gives us the call to come to him before it is too late. So maybe our greatest question, maybe tonight, that we want to spend just a short time on is that, who is this man? Who is this man named Jesus? Is he really the way out? We hear of a lot of explanations and a lot of things about Jesus and who he is. A lot of people don't even believe in the name of Jesus. Do you believe in the name of Jesus tonight? Absolutely. The Bible gives us a beautiful text in John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6, we notice the Bible said, Jesus said. Again, I always like this, what? Jesus says. The Bible says. So if you hear me say over and over, the Bible says, that's good news. When you hear me say, Jesus said, that's what? That's more good news. It's not man that we're worried about. We're worried about what Jesus has to say. And he said, Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, and I am the, come on, the truth, and I am the life. Notice that. No man cometh to the Father except what? But by me. So here we go. We're looking at Jesus, and we need to find out who Jesus is, because no one comes to the Father unless they come through what? Through Jesus. I mean, we're never going to make it to heaven if we don't know Jesus and accept him, if you don't mind me just putting it on the line real quick. We need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We'll say, yeah, we know that, but you realize many people do not know that. And so we need to look closely at it. We live in an ungodly world. I mean ungodly. You have to protect your eyes and your ears and your nose or whatever else when you go out in this world. Are you still with me? We have to wear earmuffs so we don't have to hear conversations we don't want to hear. We have to wear blinders sometime because we don't need to see what's going on out there, if you know what I'm talking about. We live in the ungodly world and circumstances, things that are going on. It's filled with crime and death and violence on every hand. Many feel hopeless. I mean, terrorism is rampant. We're almost afraid to go, let me say it again, to Walmart. You're going through the aisles of Walmart and you're doing like this. who might be there, what might be going on. If you go where there's a big gathering, you have thoughts. You know you do from what's going on. Terrorism, financial instability on in the world. It's a dog-eat-dog, they say, world. Jesus, who is He? How can we get to know Him? Maybe that's the big question. What qualifies Him as my Savior, your Savior? What qualifies Him? Is He different? Was He different than anybody else? Was there something that He did? Was there something that we need to know about tonight? Jesus, is He really the way out? Is He for real? Have you ever heard that? Are you for real? Somebody got it and the rest of them won't get it till tomorrow. You've heard that. Is He for real? Many people say that about Jesus. They say, is he for real? Because they don't know. And so as we look at Scripture tonight, I think it's going to become very plain to us. We live in a world where there are a lot of people who are pretenders. They pretend. They put on a church face sometime. They put on a work face. They put on a happy face when they're not so happy. There's pretenders in the world. Is this what Jesus? Is He a pretender? I think not. Hollywood, the silver screen, is full of pretenders. They make believe that there's something that they're really not. Think about that with me. A life of pretending. But you know, in the real world, there's real criminals. There's real people out there who are deceiving and robbing, taking every opportunity to take advantage of someone. But also in the real world, there are people who love Jesus. There are some real people. I like to be around real people. And you can tell, you know, what's real in their life. Just spend 5 minutes with them and see what they talk about. Within 5 minutes, I need to hear the name of Jesus a couple of times. I don't know about you. I might get a little bit nervous if I don't hear Jesus. Why? Because what's on your mind and in your heart comes out in your conversation. Jesus, who is He? I'm thankful for those who love Jesus. I'm thankful for those who are preparing. And Jesus said, no one's going to come to me, right? Unless they come through the what? Go to the Father unless they come through me. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than what? The name of Jesus. Here it is again. The name of Jesus. Now remember, many people do not know that. There are those, that, in fact, we live in a world where, you know, everybody's spying on everybody else. You ever notice that? It's very interesting, right? You know, from way up there, you know, about 22,500 miles into space, they can zoom on you as you're riding your bike down the trail. Are you still with me? So-and-so accident on such-and-such, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Everybody, every country is spying on each other. And naturally, when they're spying on others, they pretend to be somebody else or they pretend not to exist. Is Jesus that kind of an individual? Was He? But we know through history that thousands and thousands, millions of people have pretended to be something. And we talked about last night and even today, we're talking about they pretend to be the Messiah. We have to figure out who the real Messiah, who He really is. We know that Jesus made those predictions. We won't look at those tonight, spend much time on that because we've done that. Matthew chapter 24 goes through that. They pretend. We talk about false prophets and false Christs are going to arise. And Matthew 24 what? Would deceive the very, if it were possible, they would what? Deceive the very elect. And I've said before, I never felt like I'm the very elect. And it's good not to put trust in yourself. Put trust in God. There can only be one true, genuine Messiah. Jesus. The Bible predicts that. Now, think about deceived if possible. Is it possible to be deceived? It is, but sometimes we act like it's not possible. We think, well, I can't be deceived because I know what truth is. Jesus just warns us to make sure that we are not. Revelation describes in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, it describes, you notice that they describe, it describes those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Are you still with me, church? There's two groups of people. There's one group who follow the Lamb, what? Wherever he goes. Think about that. Oh, I want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They worship him. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then there's another group, and you're going to fall in one or the other, that Revelation 13:1 talks about. It talks about a beast power. These are things that a lot of times, even as Christians or Adventist Christians or whatever Christian or whatever church you belong to, we're afraid to talk about it, but we should not be as part of the third angel's message. Beast power. The Antichrist power that rose out of the sea. False Christ. We notice that. And also the man of sin. It's very interesting to me. Unless we understand who is the true Messiah, we might accept a counterfeit. We just might, if we don't know who the true Messiah is, we just might be deceived. And I don't know about you, but the longer time lasts, you know, every day that goes on, and the more truths that we learn as we're studying every day and we're digging into the Word of God and you're spending special time and you're setting the alarm, you're getting up a little bit earlier than normal because you know you need that special touch, that special time. We learn more about this Messiah, this Jesus. And we're going to find that he shines brighter and brighter in our hearts and in our lives day by day. We come to love him more and more and more. So focusing on Jesus is not so bad. Focusing on our Savior. Focusing on the one who gave his life. Think about that tonight just with me for a few moments. Think about that. I've heard people say that Jesus was just a good man. Have you ever heard that? Oh, he was just a good. I believe tonight that Jesus was more than just a good man. I believe that he was more than just a good, oh, he's a good teacher. Oh, he was a good philosopher. Oh, he was more than all of that. He was more plus more. The Bible says in John 6, verse 38, notice, for I have come down from where? Jesus is telling us right now. He said, I came down from where? He said, I came down from heaven is what the Bible says. I love that. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus submitting to the Father. If Jesus submitted to the Father, how much more should you and I submit to the Father? Should we not submit? We are not sufficient to make it through in this life on our own. We need help. We need outside help. Certainly not what the world teaches us. I hear it say all the time, everything you need is within yourself. Well, you've got trouble if that's what you're thinking. We need outside help. We need Holy Spirit help, don't we? We need Holy Spirit power. We need to grasp the realities that we can't make it. We're sure to fail without this Messiah. Without Jesus. Think. But he came to do the will. Notice that. But the will of him that sent me. What was Jesus saying here? Do you notice he said, I came down from heaven. He was telling me there that I came down from my Father. And listen carefully. That I've always been with my Father. Think about that with me. Jesus said in Exodus 3 verse 14. You remember here, it said, you know, God in the Bible, but you do some studying on this and you'll find out a little bit more about it. It just simply said, I am that I am has sent. Wow. I am. For from eternity that Jesus has always been with God. How sad it is that we have so much difference and we want to fuss and argue and carry on in the last day church that we can't figure out. Some of these simple things that Christ has always been with the Father. I came down from heaven, he said. You see, the problem we have here is if Christ is not divine, we're in trouble. Does that make sense? If he's just a good philosopher, he's just a good teacher, if he's just a good man and we're following him, it might be nice to follow him, but it's not going to help us. He was stressing that he was divine and he came down from heaven. If he is divine, if we figure it out from Scripture that he is divine, to reject him means that we lose eternal life. Interesting. If we reject him, we lose eternal life. None of us want to lose eternal life. We're here, right? We want to make it to heaven. We absolutely do. Jesus said, John 5, verse 39. Notice. He talked about the Scriptures, you know. What did he say about the Scriptures? John 5, I think, is it 39? Yeah. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them what? You think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So we can prove now that Jesus, what? But the Messiah, he said, you search the Scriptures, and if you search the Scriptures, you're going to find what? They testify of me. I came down. Scriptures testify of me. I think we're on the right track. But you know, if we read, I think, the next verse on that, the 40, it really says something that we need to think about tonight. Jesus simply said, and you will not come to me that ye might have life. How sad that must have been. I came down from heaven. I am that I am. Search the Scriptures, you're going to find me there. But he said, the problem is, what, you won't come to me. And if you don't come to me, you can't have life. So if you don't know who he is, you can't have eternal life. If you haven't accepted him, we can't have eternal life. That's what the Bible said, isn't it? You know, at the time of Christ, all they had, as we well know, is the Old Testament Scriptures. Isn't that right? That's what he taught out of. And you remember when Jesus met after the resurrection, he met with the two men that was walking down the road, you know, to Emmaus. You remember, they were talking along. And Jesus joined in. They didn't realize who he was. Is that true? They didn't for a while. They were just talking along, making conversation and talking about Jesus. But interesting what Jesus had to say. Do you remember what he had to say? That may not be on the screen, but if you jot it down in Matthew chapter, I think it's 24, or Luke 24, 27. And Jesus began to say, listen, all you have to do is go back and search the Scriptures. You notice this, and he began where? At the beginning, at Moses and what? And all the prophets. He expounded to them all the Scriptures and things concerning what, church? Himself. Is Jesus really the way out? Absolutely, he is the way out. But we have to realize he is the Messiah, and here helps proof that he is the Messiah. He said, go back and read Moses and the prophets. He expounded from all the Scripture, and all the Scripture then what? Talked about him. Messiah, Jesus of Scripture. Look at some of those prophecies just quickly tonight with me. Notice a few of these prophecies. Notice they prophesy in advance the place of his birth. You know that. The manner of his birth, his betrayal, and his death. Fourth thing, notice that, interesting. You go back to the Old Testament in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Notice what the Bible said. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And I'm just going to read again, condense it down. We look at the term, we look at the name Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Now it says, out of thee shall come forth what? Unto me, one that's to rule what? Would be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from what? Everlasting. What does that talk about where Jesus, he said, I came down from heaven, right? That he's always been with the Father. He said, I've been what? From everlasting. You notice that if you look in the margin of your Bible, in the King James, it said everlasting means from days of eternity. Did you get it, church? From days of eternity. There never was a time that he was not with the Father. This is identifications of the marks of the Messiah. Now think about the birth. Why would a pregnant woman, as it were, travel, you know, maybe about 90 miles on a donkey, you know, from Nazareth to Bethlehem? The Scripture had predicted where he would be born. Is that not true? That'd be an awful long donkey ride, wouldn't it? 90 miles. 90 miles driving is sometimes a little bit long, isn't it? And certainly here In the Phoenix area, it's a long, long time. But there was a reason for these things. It's been prophesied in Scripture how the Messiah would come. Bethlehem, just certainly a small town here. How did Micah the prophet know? How did he know? 700 years before Christ, he knew where Christ would be born. Wow. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He tells us, behold, notice this, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, right? God with us. See, sometimes we have to really look at these things and say, this is beautiful. It's fitting together. It's like gloves on the hand. Jesus being born, we can prove that he is the Messiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Yes. So far, notice we've seen a few things here, just some evidence here quickly, that he was to be born, what the Bible said many years, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born of a virgin. Interesting. This is one of the greatest evidence of his divinity, and we need to know that he's divine being because we have things we need to have taken care of. It's a sin issue. Interesting. Be conceived by the Holy Spirit. What a miracle. Matthew 1:18 simply says, before they came together, she was found with child of the what? Of the Holy Ghost. These are simple things here to prove for those who doubt Jesus, right, the Messiah. This will help us to understand or help the other folks who are asking the question, all of these things that were written. Notice what Gabriel said to Mary. I think it was kind of interesting here. Notice this. In Luke chapter 1, and actually I'd like for you to read verses 28 through 31 when you have the opportunity. We're going to just have a line here. Verse 30, Luke chapter 1 says, and the angel said, did you get it? What did the angel say to her? First of all, fear. Come on, church. I know it's been a long day, but it's not that long. Does that make sense? Absolutely. Notice. He said the first thing, and I like, you know what? Because I think if an angel showed up, some of us may hit the dirt now. Some of us because we just didn't understand it and we're afraid. Others because you've been doing things you shouldn't be doing. Stay with me, church. But the first thing the angel said, Mary, fear what? Fear not. Thou hast found favor with God. I can't think of anything better to say you found favor with God. I can't think of any better words, you know, as he opens the gates and invites us to come in that holy city. I can't think of any better words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. These are the words that we're looking for. Well done. Can you think of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords saying something to you or to me? Well done. Man, you talk about music to the ears. Exciting. But the angel simply just said there, verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It was all planned out. It was all planned out. And the good thing when you read the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, it says there's a reason why Jesus came. He said he will save his people from what? He's save his, the people from their sins. Does anyone here need that? Is that an issue? I don't know about you, but I do. Yes. Sin issue. How about the angel that appeared to Joseph? He assured him that this was what? This is a miracle from God. The shepherds knew about Jesus, who he was. They know. They sang. They begin to notice the angels in heaven as the shepherds begin to look for Christ announcing his birth, and they begin to sing, ain't what? Glory to God, where? Glory to God in the highest. Notice, glory to God in the highest as Jesus was about to be born. Who is he? He was, and he is more than just a good man, more than a good teacher. He's the divine Son of God, is what the Bible is teaching us. Prophecy points to him as the Messiah. Moses wrote about the star that would lead the wise men to his birthplace. The book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob." Think about this, 1,500 years, my brothers and sisters, before Christ, the Bible said that there would be a star that would show the place of Jesus Christ. And we realize as we look at Scripture in Revelation 22, 16, we know Jesus is the bright and morning star, isn't he? Think about written hundreds and thousands of years, 1,500 years beforehand, and it proved come to pass exactly the way it was written because the Holy Spirit was in charge. How wonderful, how much encouragement that should be with us today. Wise men, the Bible said, they came, they gave gifts. And I say to you, and I challenge you tonight, as I challenge myself, if we are wise men and women today, we still should be seeking Him. If we are wise today, men and women and children today, we should be ready to give Him not just the gifts, but give Him our hearts. This is what He wants. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Everything about you, body, soul, mind. If we haven't done that, we need to do that, we know. Jesus' life simply identifies Him. Just His life. Of Jesus, Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. We're not reading everything because it takes too long to do it. Notice what it says, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord has done what? He's anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor." "Heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." I'm just taking out a few lines in there. You can read it all, jot it down, and read it later. But notice what it said. Isaiah wrote about Jesus. He said, this is what Jesus is going to be doing. This is going to be the life of Jesus. This is going to be the Messiah. Notice what He's going to do. And He's going to open the prison doors. Did you get that? The prison. "To those who are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Comfort all who mourn." This was the life of Jesus Christ, was the life of what? Giving His life for others. What an example for us today how we should be giving our life and doing things other than ourselves for our fellow man. What an example. Think about what He's talking about here, preaching the good tidings to the poor, healing the brokenhearted. Is there any brokenhearted tonight? Absolutely. The world is full of broken hearts. They need Jesus. They may not know that they need Jesus. There are many that are sick that need a special touch that only Jesus can give. There are many in the prison house of sin that need, they're captives, and they need to be set free. Only Jesus can set the captives free. He wants to set you and I free from sin, free in this world that we may live for Him. Did Jesus or did He not preach the good news, the good tidings? Did He not? Absolutely He did. He forgave, right? He lifted up the burden, you know, the guilt. He took the guilt. He took the burden from each one who would come to Him. That's Jesus. Exactly what the Bible said would take place. Did He not heal the brokenhearted? Yes, He did. Did He not give hope? Did He not comfort the suffering and those who lost loved ones? Yes, He did. Did He not raise the dead? Yes, He did. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Did He not proclaim liberty to the captives? Yes, He did. There may be someone tonight who listens or who watched that they are really captivated by this thing called sin. And they need to be set free. You know, I simply give you Jesus tonight. There's no one else that can do that. Only Jesus. A victory that needs to be gained in your life. Only Jesus, by His blood, can give you that victory that you need. You may think because we sit here or somebody sits on the pew that everything is well in their life. We just don't know. We don't read the hearts the way Jesus does. He's the burden bearer. He's the one that wants to take that heavy load from you and to give you freedom in Him. He wants to forgive you. Only God, only Christ can forgive your sins and mine. Even when Jesus walked this earth, there were many, many people that surrounded him. They sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God. They recognized him as the Messiah. We have a difficult time today. But they recognized it. You can look at more than just 40 prophecies that fulfilled about Jesus Christ, fulfilled to the very letter, to the time. King David, for instance, wrote about 1,000 years before Christ, told how Jesus would be betrayed. How did he do that? Had to be the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? 1,000 years before it took place, he began to pen these words. He said in Psalms 41:9, notice it says, even my close friends. Notice that. Even my close what? Friends whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. How did he know that? Because the power of the Holy Spirit. Judas, we know, betrayed Jesus Christ. He did it with a kiss. Please go over it quickly tonight as time's fleeing on. What did Micah do? We go back to the Old Testament. What did Micah do? First passage we look, Micah 5, verse 2. He predicted what? The place where Jesus would be born. Isaiah come along, and Isaiah predicted that he would be born of a virgin. Moses said that there would be a star that would arise that would lead them to Jesus. And he would become, as it were, that star. Then we find Isaiah said again, he would open the eyes of the blind. He would heal the sick. He would raise the dead. He would forgive sins. And David said what? A friend would betray him. Wow. We must discover who he is. We must discover Jesus, the desire of all nations. Isn't that what the world needs rather than a bunch of more laws passed? We just need Jesus. It sounds simple and all, well, that's just, we all know that. But that's what we need in this world. We need Jesus. Zechariah chapter 11, 12 and 13. Amazing prophecy. You notice how it's talked about? And Jesus was, you know, he was betrayed for what? How many? 30 what? 30 pieces of silver. It didn't say 30 pieces of gold. It didn't say rubies and diamonds. It said, you know, distinctively so that we would know that it was 30 pieces of silver. Even the amount was correct, the result and the place. My brothers and sisters, are we ready to really accept him if we have not? For those in the sound of my voice, those who will see, those who will hear, there will be those who will make that decision. They will say, my life is in such a shambles that I know that I need a way out. Is Jesus really going to be the way out for you and the way out for me? Sometimes all we need to do is open Scripture, maybe to the book of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. And Jesus just talks about, he said, I offered my back. I gave them my back. So that he could be, that he would be beaten. I'll work with this for a minute. I offered my back to those, notice this, who beat me. And notice he offered his cheeks to those who would pull out his beard, beat his face, spit in his face. He said, I offered it to them. He never fought it. What a Savior. What a Lord. He said, I didn't hide my face from them. I willingly gave them everything. Friend, do we know him that well tonight? Do we love him enough that we can take our stand? Because I'm telling you, the test is coming. When we are on fire, when the church gets on fire the way that we should, persecution will once again come to the forefront. We see it in other parts of the world, but we're going to see it here. Do we love him enough? Do we have an experience with him that will take us through this testing period? Jesus, divine Son of God, came to this world to die for us. Will we be willing to accept Him? In the book of Psalms, it even talks about the piercing. They pierce my hands and my feet. David wrote about that. They would pierce his hands and his feet. How did David know? Because crucifixion wasn't even known in his day. Oh, church, think about it. The Bible certainly is in harmony, isn't it? Harmony with this Holy Spirit Scripture. It says they, Psalms 22:18, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing did they cast lots. Did they or did they not? Absolutely. If we had time, you go into archaeological studies, they found proof that this is what took place here in the Via Della Rosa. There on the sidewalk, it was etched in the things that they had done, and for the just what the Bible said, the casting lots for his robe. Enough proof. We know who He is, Christ the Messiah, nailed on the cross, offers each one of us eternal life tonight. Maybe we tonight, just like the thief on the cross, if you allow me to say that tonight, maybe we say, oh Lord, please remember me when you come. I wonder if we could say that tonight with full confidence and faith in His Word, in His promises that He is the true Messiah. Lord, remember me when you come. Do you think He'll turn a deaf ear? Do you think He'll remember you? Absolutely, He will. And but what? We need to say it. Lord, remember me when you come. It's a decision that we must make, that we should make even yet tonight if we haven't made it for Jesus Christ. There's other things that we could read. Our time is running out. I like John 11:25. I'll just read it for you quickly. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, yet what? Shall he live. This is the hope that we have as Christians today. If we die, we die in him. He said, I'm coming back to get you. The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And tonight Jesus says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and what? Do you hear him knocking? Has he ever knocked at your heart? Have you always responded when he's knocking at your heart? Tonight I say, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is still the problem solver. Jesus is still the forgiving Savior. Jesus is still the life-changing Lord. Jesus is still the miracle worker. Jesus is still the name above names. Jesus is still all-powerful. Invite Him into your life. Invite Him into your heart. If you feel and sense that something is missing, maybe just a little bit, something's missing, you'll want to ask Him again to come in. We don't want anything missing. We want Him to come in because Jesus is the only way out of this mess.